The e-commerce fuel podcast is sponsored by Shopify, the card I use and love because it eliminates frustrating technical and server problems. Like a Magento logging issue I had before we switched over that brought our store to a crawl and required the better part of a day to troubleshoot. What's the only thing better than eliminating tech headaches? Making more money. And Shopify can help there too. We experienced a whopping 41% increase in conversion after moving our store to Shopify from Magento. So quit fighting with servers and make more money. You can learn how at Shopify.com. Welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, your headquarters for building a six-figure plus e-commerce business. I'm your host, e-commerce entrepreneur, and Jeff Bezos wannabe, Andrew Derry. Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. Today on the show, talking about something that doesn't get mentioned a lot, but is a pretty real part of being a store owner in e-commerce or really entrepreneurship of any kind, and that's burnout, you know, really running yourself ragged, trying to do too much and coming to the end of the week or month or year and just feeling like you're just running on empty and you're just ragged. And joining me to talk about that, a man who I know has had a busy 6 months, to say the least, between buying a company, trying to raise some money, and moving cross country. Bill, how you doing, man?
Very good. Very good.
Good. It's interesting because we both were talking about how this last 6 months have been busy. And so this kind of just popped up as a great topic to dive into because it's something, we both have been working with. So note first, shout out this episode. We're going to go ahead and just dive right in to figure out how to deal with burnout in your life as an entrepreneur. All right, Bill, I mean, I kind of alluded to a couple things that's been going on for you, but can you give a few more details, if you wouldn't mind? Like, what's been going on with you, and how specifically does this relate to your life in the last, 3 months or so?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a topic when you asked me to come talk about it that I have some, very personal thoughts on, because I've lived through it, some burnout for sure at different times in my life. And past couple of months have been one of those times. I just had a lot, as an entrepreneur, I think all of us listening, or you're inclined to do too much. It's very easy to say yes, to chase down multiple opportunities, and to feel like you need to be working all the time, and to feel like you're always at work, especially if you work from home. And I can talk a little bit about that later, working from home versus going to an office, and how to deal, manage that. There's also, Andrew, I know we did this another episode that I really recommend people listen to, which is the how to deal with the temptation of running multiple businesses as an entrepreneur. So I think that one probably dovetails pretty nicely with our conversation today. Just to answer your question, in the past 3 months or 4 months, roughly, I have bought another business, another sunscreen business to bolt on to Elements Brands. I have begun to speak with some investors about raising an investment round for OrderCircle.com, which is a sort of a wholesale Shopify. And then I have also purchased a house and moved halfway across the country. So all in, a couple months. So it's been pretty busy.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. It's crazy. It's funny too, you mentioned the episode we did before where you can be running ragged and feeling like you're just doing so much stuff. But still, if you see another business opportunity you would think you would look at it and be like, oh, that looks like a great business opportunity, but I have way too much going on. But no, you can't.
Right.
Like, your brain is just like, oh, I can fit this in. This, I'll
right.
be able to juggle everything.
Right.
It's funny. For me, it's been just, yeah, especially after we got Right Channel Radio's launched and kind of changing gears on things. I feel like for me, a lot of times, just a lot of things coming at me from business and trying to figure out how to manage different contact points and different people. And for me, a lot of times maybe it's not so much as burnout as much and being too busy, but sometimes I'll go through like these enormous motivational ups and downs where for 6 months, I will just be on fire for getting a new website launched and really in the zone in terms of being productive. And then I'll have these like 1 to 2 month or sometimes longer. I've had one time it was like 3 or 4 months, just enormous productivity dips where I just don't feel motivated to get stuff done. And everything is a battle to try to be productive. And I had one of those a couple months ago and it lasted about 6 weeks. And those, I think those are the down, you're not quite as busy, but you just emotionally burned out to get stuff done. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, at least in the last 3 to 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that way too. If you work so hard for so long, it's even if you don't end up hating your business, you just feel like, man, I just feel like blah, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. So how do you deal with that? Well, we're going to talk about 6 tips for preventing and dealing with burnout. And the first one, and this one is probably easier said than done, but identify what's important and eliminate everything else. I think, Bill, if you and I both kind of looked at each other's business schedules. At least I'll speak for myself, what I do on a day-to-day basis. If you watched what I was doing every day, at the end of the day, you say, hey, Andrew, what are your goals? And I listed my goals to you. And then you said, well, here's what you did all day as I watched over your shoulder with my spy cam that you didn't know I was watching. How do like 70% of these relate? I probably wouldn't be able to give you a great answer. I think a lot of times we're not as good as we think about identifying where we want to go and focusing just on that. But if you can, and then it frees up more time to do other things, it's enormously beneficial so you don't get overloaded.
I think you're totally right. I catch myself, and I call this mentally to myself, I call it playing whack-a-mole. I think it's very easy to fall into this as an entrepreneur when kind of an email is what does this to you. An email comes in, you're like, oh, I have to deal with this. Or, oh, there's a fire over here. Like, maybe I'll handle this thing now. Or I just got a notification from Google Analytics, you know, with my last month in summary. Maybe I'll dive into analytics and spend an hour there, you know, slicing and dicing all that. And then kind of the day has gone by and you've played whack-a-mole as all these things popped up all day. And then you haven't really made any sustained progress towards your long-term goals. And all the time it happens to me, it's 4 o'clock and I'm like, oh, I've been playing whack-a-mole all day long. And you got to somehow, it's hard, but you got to turn off email if you can, or find a way to not play whack-a-mole for a few hours.
Yeah. And I'll refer people over to our episode on being productive as a solo entrepreneur. We talked a lot about these, turning off notifications, being a little more vigilant with not checking email all the time, kind of planning out your day, those kind of things. They can help. If you're good with those, it'll help a ton.
Yeah.
Number two, take extended breaks from work. And I think this sounds really obvious, but I think a lot of times people don't do it. Not just a day here, a day there, but take extended time, you know, at least a couple of weeks if you can, maybe even a month if it's possible to swing in. And for me, I think back upon last year, we took 2 weeks off of work and went down and just spent some time in Florida right on the coast with the family. And the first week, I didn't do any work at all. I just hung out. I didn't check email for a week, which was crazy, but it was really rejuvenating. And by the time I got back for week two, I had so many ideas and so many things that I had a chance to think through and percolate in my mind without all these distractions. It not only rejuvenated me, but it gave me so much more energy than I had when I left, and some great ideas that I brought into the business.
Yeah, I think that it's beneficial for me too. It's interesting to hear you say. So you said about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. What's your time frame? Because I think it's different for everyone before they get antsy. What's your time frame?
For me, I was antsy to get back to it after a week. Yeah. So it's like in May, we're taking off for a little family trip for 2 to 3 weeks, maybe even up to a month. We're going to load everyone up into the VW van and head south. And we'll see how it goes, especially with a couple of young kids. But ideally, I want to do, you know, 3 to 4 weeks out. But I know that after 7 to 10 days, man, I'm going to be itching to get back into it. Are you like that?
Yep. I have about 7 to 10 days where I can like really totally unplug. And somewhere in there, you know, it's not that I'm not thinking about it, you know, during that time and having good ideas, but in a 7 to 10 days, I go, I kind of feel like I've been screwing around for a little while. You know, there's a lot that I could do and I've got all these good ideas. I want to get back to it. And I wonder how the business is doing. And it's hard for me at 7 to 10 days, I start to wig out a little bit and then I need to get back to it. And then I wonder like, God, am I a workaholic? Like, can I not, you know, have I been doing this too long that I can't set it down and go away? But it, you know, I think, or it could be that I just really like what I do. So, but 7 to 10 days for me is the longest I can go.
Yeah. But even if it's only 7 to 10, bake those breaks in there. They're important. Number three, hey, this one might have been the one to put at the front. Get better at saying no. And I think this is probably, you know, not even business specific, life specific. It's probably one of the best skills you can learn to do. You know, I think people get really good at adding things incrementally to their plate. They don't really notice them stacking up and stacking up. And there's also an enormous urge and desire for a lot of people to please other people. People don't like disappointing other people or being abrasive or being that person who won't help out. But if you can't get good at saying no, you're going to pretty much have other people dictate the direction of your life, your business, your family, everything. And so I think this is probably one of the best things you can do. I have something in kind of my personal kind of little mission statement. And it goes something along the lines of the only things I want to do are things that I think are really important and impactful, important to people that I care strongly about or that I've committed to. And if they don't pass those three, then I'm probably going to say no to them.
That's good criteria. I like that. Now, what were they again? The three criteria?
Only say yes to doing things that are deeply impactful and important to people I care about or that I've committed to doing already because I was a wiener and couldn't say no the first time.
Yeah. I think that's a good criteria. There's a good book. It's written by James Altucher. And he writes on, you'll see him on TechCrunch or on, he founded, MarketWatch.com or something, or one of those financial, he writes a lot. And I heard him on Tim Ferriss's podcast recently talking about, and he wrote this book. It's either called The Power of the No or The Art of No or something. And it's about strategies for saying no. Because as you get successful and as you get, you know, especially, you know, on the internet, you're put your email address out there, people know how to find you. And you just can't say yes to everything. You know, even things you want to say yes to, you just can't. And so there's a real art to saying no in a way while not being an asshole, essentially. And that's sort of what the book is about, is like, here are the different situations where you'll be, people will ask you of things, you know, and he goes through like things that, you know, you are potential business opportunities that you don't have time to pursue. Things that are, you know, someone from your past reaches out and says, I want to do this, but, you know, you don't really want to. You know, how do you handle all these things in an elegant way? So it's a pretty good book. It's a very fast read. It's thin. But it's by James Altucher. It's called The Power of No or The Art of the No or something.
Perfect. Yeah, super important. Are you pretty good at this, Bill?
I'm terrible at this. I love to help people, and like, you know, especially like entrepreneurs email me and I'll be like, yeah, like let's get a phone call. And that stuff though, I like, and I will continue to say yes to that stuff all the time because I enjoy it. But you do get a lot of people, and I do have to say no to people, you know, sometimes who don't know when to stop asking for free help or, you know, whatever it might be. You have to figure out a way how to say it nicely, and it's kind of tough. And I don't mean to sound, you know, like, oh, I get all these inquiries or whatever, but when people always say, oh, there's no harm in asking, like maybe I'll just lob in an email. Sometimes there is harm to asking. Sometimes it can change a relationship a little bit. You know, if I have to say no, you know, if we had a certain relationship and now I have to say no to you because you made an inappropriate ask or something, you know, it can kind of be a little weird. So it can be really delicate.
Yeah. There's a really interesting framework. Somebody mentioned it. This isn't mine. I'm stealing from somebody. I can't remember who, but the bottom line was they said, you know, anytime you say yes to something in your mind, to make sure you're thinking through it properly, figure out what it is you're giving up to take that on. So if you say, hey, yes, I'm going to take this call, or I'm going to commit to this thing with this, my organization or my church or my friend or whatever it is, there's always an opportunity cost to that. You're either not, maybe you're not meeting with your good friends as much. Maybe you're not seeing your family or your children as much or your spouse. Like there's always a trade-off, and we don't think about that until after the fact. But if you can try to verbalize that in the moment, it makes it a ton easier. And it's also a very legitimate way to talk to someone. And when I've had to say no in tough situations in the past, I've said, hey, I understand this is something that you need help with, but like, if I do this, then I can't do this. And I, to be honest with you, like my family is more important. I'm sorry, but I hope you understand. So.
Right. There's the flip side of that is if you find yourself saying, I don't have enough time to do that, rephrase that and say, that's not a priority for me. Because how you spend your time is really your level of priority. So when you say yes to something, realize that you're prioritizing it. You're making that a higher priority than the things that you have to skip, and realize, is this the thing I want to make a high priority before I say yes to?
And again, we touched on this, but if you're a people pleaser, this is probably like one of the biggest potential weaknesses that you have. And it's, I don't know how you get over that. How do you do that, Bill? If it just gives you knots inside to disappoint people, how does someone get over this?
It's really hard. I mean, I struggle with it. I, to some degree, am a people pleaser. I love to help people, especially other entrepreneurs, and it's fun for me, but I can't, you know, I still have to run my business and have my life and all that stuff. So it's hard. And this, the book is good. The Power of No, I think it is, or The Art of No. It gives you kind of some strategies and some scripts for ways to say, I'm sorry, I just cannot, you know, without being a jerk.
Yeah. We'll link up to that in the show notes for sure. So number four, get better at creating systems and most importantly, sticking to them to help with burnout. So of course, creating systems is step number one. And I'll link up to a blog post that we did over here on virtual team management, how you can create systems and really streamline kind of the automation process of your business. But it's one thing to create a system or frameworks. Like we have something called a kind of a unless I hear otherwise culture at Right Channel Radios and e-commerce fuel. I think I've talked to you about that before, Bill, where it's you know, anytime there's a problem, a team member is supposed to come to me and say, hey, unless I hear otherwise, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z to solve it. So it makes them take the initiative to really propose a solution, and stuff gets done even if I don't intervene, unless I want it to do
differently. That's great. I love that.
But a lot of times I'm not great at really holding people to that. You know, people will come with, hey, what do I do here? What do I do there? And again, it's, you know, if I was in their shoes, I probably would be not, I can understand how it's hard to always come with that, but there's been a lot of times where instead of me just linking over to our philosophy and having them come back to me with a proactive solution, I'll just put out the fire in the moment and give them a solution or say, here's what we should do. And so, you know, sticking to those systems and really empowering your team as well, making them understand that they're proactive, even if they don't make the perfect decision in the moment, as long as they're proactive about it, they're doing their best and they're adhering to the kind of the principles and that you've set up for the company, you're not going to get mad at them. Those are really important.
Yep. I think maybe we should have listed this one earlier, but it's kind of hard to take a 2-week vacation if you don't have systems.
It is.
You know, the whole world's going to fall apart while you're gone. So, I mean, I think if you're feeling burned out, look at your repetitive tasks. Go, what are some of the things I do every day? And that could not be a task. That could be approving someone else's work. You know, this person, I have to check what this person does every single day. How can I make them better at it or something whereby I don't have to check them? So if you're feeling burned out, start with your systems. And if you're successful in building systems, you might, hey, just start to feel less burned out because you're doing less repetitive stuff every day. And then you might be able to go, man, maybe I can go away.
It's a snowball. It'll just start snowballing on itself.
Yeah.
Number 5, figure out what recharges you and make sure to prioritize it. So Bill, it'll be interesting to hear what yours is. For me, the 2 big things that recharge me is time like one-on-one with Annie and basketball. As long as I don't play like absolute just garbage, you know, as long as I don't just embarrass myself on the court, it recharges me. I love it. And so it's, those are the 2 things I really try to focus on, because if I don't, I feel it. And, they give me energy. So Bill, what is it for you?
For me, it's going out with friends. I love, you know, to get a good group of, you know, 5 or 6 friends together to go out, have, you know, have a nice dinner, sit around, have some wine, and just have like a nice social evening. For me, really lets me, it recharges my batteries to some degree. And also going outside. So I realize I spend so much time inside. You know, you can just sit in your office, just at your computer screen, and just to go for a walk even. So I'm trying to go for walks every day now. I go for, you know, 15, 20, 25 minute walk every day just to get outside, get a little sunlight. I mean, if it's raining, I stay in. But if it's nice out, I try to go outside every single day to kind of break the staring at the computer screen thing and get out of my bubble. So a walk and then kind of a social evening with friends. And there also the other change I made to try to recharge myself. This was almost like a breakthrough for me, because I didn't realize how bad I actually was at relaxing. It's actually kind of a skill. Like, you know, you need to, when you take a break, you want to make that break count. And what I realized is during the day, I would sort of take these micro breaks. And I'm sure you guys, everybody listening probably knows what I'm talking about. You know, you work for a little while and you go, oh, maybe I'll just click on Facebook. Or, you know, maybe I'll go to Hacker News and I'll read a couple articles or whatever it might be. And then, you know, and I'm not talking about where you get totally derailed, but, you know, you're like, oh, I'll just take a, you know, 15, 20, 30 minute break here and I'll just read some things on the internet and then I'll get back to work. And even if you do that, you know, you'll probably get that feeling. You've been reading articles for 20 or 30 minutes and you go, okay, I guess I really should go back to work. And you go, you take a deep breath and you kind of dive back into the thing that you were doing. But what I realize is that what my brain is telling me when it goes, oh, maybe you should take a little break and read some articles on the internet, what my brain is telling me is that it wants a break. And if I don't take that break, and if I don't get up and I don't go do something else and give my brain an actual break, if I give it kind of this half-assed, stare at words on a page break in quotes, and then I go back to work, I don't have any of the benefits. I don't feel recharged. I don't even feel like I got a break. And then shortly thereafter, I want another one. It's not a wholesome break. So now what I'm trying to do is, when I feel that compulsion to take that quick mental break, I stand up from the computer and I go do something. I read a book, I go play a video game, or I go outside. I try to take an actual non-stare at words on a screen break whenever I feel that, and then return in 15 to 30 minutes and begin work again. And that's helped me a lot, because I feel actually recharged after a little snack break.
Yeah, it happens to me all the time too. Number six, take care of your body. So burnout is something that can hit you at any time, but you're much more prone to it if you're tired, if your body's not functioning well, if you're feeling blah. And I don't know about you, Bill. I used to be able to eat like a goat and be great, you know, in college.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Just, you know, drink three beers and put away three quarters of a pizza and then chase it down with some ice cream and I'd be golden, you know? It wouldn't affect my body at all. Now, if I eat like that, I feel terrible, you know? If I don't get any decent sleep, if I'm not in bed by a reasonable hour, yeah, the mornings are really groggy. And for me, like from 8 to 11, that's when I really get stuff done. If you look, you know, we're talking about those most important things. That's when that happens for me. And so if I'm feeling terrible or I, you know, have to sleep in because I'm just up super late, I don't get that done. So yeah, taking care of your body in terms of just exercise, in terms of nutrition, it sounds silly. It sounds cliche. Everyone talks about it, but it's a big deal.
This also, exercise is one of these ways. And you mentioned that playing basketball recharges you in the last point. And it's actually not surprising because there's a lot of studies that show that exercise releases endorphins and it helps your brain to actually chemically function differently just to have a little bit of exercise. And it makes you happier. So if you are fit and you are getting exercise, you will perform better in your work even while you're not exercising because your brain is sharper and you're just generally happier.
Yeah. Another thing I've noticed too is I'm much less prone to eat junk, eat crap food if I've been exercising. It doesn't make any sense, but if I'm just like hanging out on a Saturday and don't do anything, 5 o'clock rolls around, I'll be ravenous and put away three quarters of a pizza if I wanted to. But if I go out and play basketball and come back, you know, at the same time, I might be a little peckish, but like just have a protein shake or something or an apple and I won't have the appetite, which is a little bit counterintuitive because you're definitely burning more calories, but that's the experience I've had.
It's somehow easier to make the right choice on the food if you've already made the right choice on the exercising.
Yeah, it's bizarre, but it works for me. So
yeah, I feel the same way. I get that. I understand that.
Yeah.
One more point I'll add to take care of your body. You mentioned just now that you said 8 to 10 a.m. is sort of your most worthwhile time. So you're an early bird. I'm not. I'm the opposite. I think 8 to 11 p.m. is my most worthwhile time when I happen to crank the best. But and everybody listening is going to be different. So and again, this sounds rudimentary, but one thing you can actually do is if you journal, if you just take just any, you know, pad of paper or something and go, when I eat this, it makes me feel this way. Or I've noticed that I've really been in flow for the last 2 hours. What time of day was it? You know, what did I eat before that? Or how much did I sleep last night? When did I go to bed? And you just write these things down. Like, don't even attempt to change anything. Just observe your life and put it on paper and then go back and go, wow, when I eat pizza, I feel like shit, you know, or whatever it might be. Or, you know, when I stay up past midnight, my whole next day, it does not function well. Or when I get less than however many hours of sleep, or when I go outside for a walk, I tend to be more productive in the afternoon. If you just journal, don't even try to change anything, just write it down, because we as people are really horrible at subjectively analyzing like the things that we did. Just even just remembering what you did and trying to link it back up to your current mental state. So if you just write it down, you can actually figure out how to manage your own body, which sounds like you shouldn't have to write down and analyze to figure it out, but it really helps.
So that'll wrap it up for us. So 6 tips on preventing and dealing with burnout. Again, real quick summary: identify what's important and eliminate everything else. Take extended breaks from work. Get better at saying no. Get better at creating systems and, most importantly, sticking to them. Figuring out what recharges you and prioritizing it. And finally, taking care of your body. Bill, I think we've earned a break here.
I think so. Maybe I'll go outside.
I would, but it's dumping snow. As you get the 70 degree weather in North Carolina, and I'll pace around my
house. Okay, there you go.
Bill, it's been fun as always.
Thanks,
man. Thanks.
Good talking to you.
That's going to do it for this week. But if you're interested in launching your own e-commerce store, download my free 55-page ebook on niche selection and getting started. And if you're a bit more experienced, look into the E-Commerce Fuel private forum. It's a vetted community for store owners with at least 4,000 in monthly sales or industry professionals with at least a year or more experience in the e-commerce space. You can learn more about both the ebook and the forum at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.